Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, welcome to the program. It's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And wow, man, we've had a powerful weekend, haven't we, buddy?
Is it over?
Oh, man, I was hurting yesterday.
Well, I know for a fact you weren't the only one hurting. I know that the house mouse, Scott, must have went back into his house because I haven't heard a peep from him in like 24 hours. I know the Beer Army girl, I know she's a hurting unit, even though she had to roll on to a next event out in Durham and showcase this beer that we're getting ready to talk about. And,
well, I'll tell you, man, what a great weekend. The collaboration with Double Barley Brewery. And I just want to give everybody a heads up, man. We got an action-packed program today. Later in the show, we're going to have a sit-down interview with Larry and Cheryl. That was done out at the brewery during the awesome collaboration release. And, of course, we'll have our Yikum to Sue after that and our Heroes Never Die coming up here in a little bit. And, of course, we always feature delicious beer, and no surprise which one we're featuring today.
Yeah, would you like to take a guess, Mick? I think everybody can figure it out. But for those who don't know what the hell we're talking about Give 'Em Hell Day that happened this past Saturday at the Double Barley Brewing out in Smithfield, North Carolina. We're not going to talk much about the brewery per se because that was featured in episode 111, Mountain Boy, where we showcased their Thrilla and Vanilla.
Oh, delicious.
And before I start talking about this beer, I did not know they were doing that steak cake stout, which is actually a mix between their steak cake and then their Thrilla and Vanilla.
Oh, that's the Vanilla Cake.
The Vanilla Cake, I'm sorry. Yeah, what did I say? Steak cake stout. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That
Holy
was so
smokes. If you have not had that, you need to get yourself a bottle of steak cake stout and Thrilla and Vanilla.
Half and half.
And 50-50. Go 50-50. Holy cow.
It's amazing.
Man. It's amazing.
Oh, and I teamed those, they teamed that up with an awesome Ecuadorian Corona.
Oh, yeah.
Cigar. And it was just, so good.
So the beer is called Give 'Em Hell. It is an Imperial Red Ale. It's clocking in at 10.4% ABV. I had a chance to talk to Mark. He said originally when him and Larry were talking about they're doing 10%, he goes, no, for the radio chatter, like, we got to have 10.4.
10.4, man.
So I thought that was a little interesting. footnote, I guess, about this
cool
beer or whatever. But what really amazes me is how much of a hop profile it does have. It's not like just big malty bomb or whatever. It really has more depth and complexity to just being a simple red ale scaled up. Like you'll hear in my, you know, interview where I was like, I was really hoping that we were going to do something else that was dark or whatever. And I was kind of like, oh, we're just going to do a red ale. But leave it to Larry and Mark and DB for taking something that can be ordinary and making it extraordinary.
It's amazing.
So they use a lot of Centennial hops and stuff. There's this really, it pours crystal clear, which is amazing because they don't have a filter. And just to have that color, that clarity is just amazing. So it has this nice, dark, reddish, amber color for a red ale. It actually has a nice little head that's on there for a high gravity beer, which usually you don't see. And the lace.
Oh, the lace. I'm looking, yeah. You know, my glass.
This
off white
lace on it.
Crazy.
Again, for a high gravity beer, you usually don't see that. The aroma is very pronounced of malt. And then, of course, this hop that's just forward. The flavor is definitely, you pick up the caramel and then you pick up the hop flavor too, and it balances. But the nice thing about it is, even though it's a hoppy beer, and I'm using air quotes, it's not an overly bitter beer.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
And that's what I like about it. And then what's even more dangerous about this beer is the alcohol. You do not taste it.
It is so sweet.
You
it has
do
a,
not
such
taste
a sweet
it.
Finish. And you're right. Everything you just mentioned, absolutely true, man. And that finish is so smooth and so sweet, and it's just begging your lips to take another sip.
But I really love how the caramel comes forward when you're imbibing on it, and it just, and then it goes, transitions to the hop flavor. And again, it's not like, oh God, I had that beer an hour ago and I'm still tasting it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an awesome beer. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to get in trouble with this beer, because if you pour it into a pint glass, you're going to get halfway through your pint and all of a sudden you're going to be like, wait a minute. This isn't some 5% freaking red ale.
No.
So it's awesome, man.
What a great day, though, man. They really
So out at
put on an awesome event.
Brandon Snow, he played great.
Yeah,
we actually brought him out of the brewery because the weather was so awesome. It just felt like this whole beer garden type vibe. And the food trucks, you know, it was just the diner and then the Mana.
Yep.
They're slinging food and stuff like that. And, of course, DB was making food in their facility as well. And Their tap room was hopping, and I don't think a lot of people in the tap room didn't realize like we had this big party, because some people came out like, holy shit, because they went in and then they came out and there was like all these people just hanging out and just partaying, and you know, cornhole boards, kids running around, people bringing some of their dogs, and it's just this awesome event. But what about, and I forgot, I wrote down the name, but I couldn't find it, of the gentleman who brought the Jeep that was dropped during Normandy. Oh my gosh, it's Willie's Jeep, old school.
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I had it written down, and I apologize, and I will get that information, because it was just freaking awesome.
That was really cool.
And I know it was their neighbor, and it was just so cool for him to do that.
World War II museum nearby there, if I'm not mistaken. He has his own little private museum.
I know there's pictures up on the web. There's on Facebook, they're on Twitter, because people took pictures of it. It was the coolest thing, because it was a real artifact, but a working artifact, you know, a working historical piece that is just a lot of character.
Just maintained, not restored.
Yeah.
Still runs, but he says it leaks like a mofo. But.
Does it? Well, I couldn't believe is that he had the Pioneer gear on the side, the license plates. Yeah. I mean, everything was just like, it was just awesome. And so to have that right in front of the brewery next to the Double Barley sign, and then everybody's wearing utilities or BDUs or camis. I don't care what branch of service, but,
really cool.
Camouflage uniform of some sort, whether it was just, you know, trousers or a blouse or a bandana, and people were just kind of getting into it. And, it was just an awesome day. And if you didn't have a chance to partake, you definitely were going to make it an annual event. I'm telling you right now. You want to get out to this thing. When we announce next year's date, make sure you make reservations. Get your ass out here. And then as far as this beer is hitting, as this thing goes to air, as you're listening to it, it is hitting the shelves statewide. There are only, hear me out, 4,500. That's 4,500. 4,500 bottles of this beer hitting the shelves. And once it's gone, it is gone. You definitely do not buy one. Do not run. Do not, don't walk, don't crawl, fly to your nearest bottle shop. Get your hands on at least 6 bottles of this, because I bought like 2 cases. I want to try it over time to see how it ages, how it cellars, because even though the hop profile, the aroma might die down a little bit, I think it's going to get really interesting as it oxidizes a little bit, get some of these leathery notes and stuff from a cellared beer. I'm really curious to see how these caramels develop and stuff like that. And there's some toffee in this too as well, but I'm just really excited.
See, payday didn't hit for me just yet, so I couldn't leave with a few cases. But I did grab a few bottles.
No, it was awesome. So I highly recommend, if you get your chance, get out. If you're out of the state, like you're going to hear a mixed interview with Larry and Cheryl, you beer trade, you do whatever you got to do to get your hands on a bottle. So if you're in California, if you're in Alaska, Puerto Rico, wherever you got to be, man, fire up the freaking beer trading chat boards and say, hey, man,
I will
trade you whatever to get a bottle of this beer.
But I just want to give a big thanks out to everybody that came out, because we did have an awesome, fun time, a great event. And not only Brandon Snow, we had Brian Mayer out there.
Michael Morrison, the artist, doing the stuff that he was doing, the silent auction, tournament promotions guys for coming out and doing the silent auction. Kenny Farmer, at Kenny Farm Art, and Jackie Hurd, jmhurd.com. For doing the lithographs and for doing what they do to make us look good. Whether it's Jackie running the website or Kenny doing some of his award-winning art. And, it's just been awesome.
That's a family, man. That's what Beer Army's about. And don't forget, be a part of it. Hit up beerarmy.org. Link to Patreon. Become a super soldier. Find out all the information. Check out our back catalog of podcast episodes. And stick around, because we have our Heroes Never Die segment coming up here on Beer Army Engaged.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org.
Hey, Dustin, why do you get a beer t-shirt, not me?
Just go over to wearyourbeer.com. Get 20% off your order by using the promo code BEERARMY.
It's that easy?
It's that easy. Wearyourbeer.com.
Promo code BEERARMY?
Yep, and you get 20% off your order.
I'm going to wear my beer.
Go for it today.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
Well, welcome back. It's that point of the program where we highlight the good deed somebody's done in our world. Because when things get screwed up, when the chips are down, you never know who's going to step in the gap.
Victory!
This week, you know, we've always talked about heroes. It's not movie stars. It's not sports celebrities or whatever. But we do have a movie star that we are identifying for being a hero this week. Give it a listen.
Onlookers watched as Harrison Ford was forced to make an emergency landing in California on Thursday. The actor made a distress call shortly after takeoff from Santa Monica Airport, reporting engine failure.
53178, engine failure. Immediate return.
Flight Santa Monica Tower, we had an aircraft depart. They lost their engine. They returned the range.
He was the only one on board when forced to land his vintage airplane at the Pinmar Golf Course in L.A. Luckily, doctors playing nearby assisted in freeing Ford from the wreckage. His publicist released this statement on behalf of the 72-year-old, saying in part that his injuries are not life-threatening and he is expected to make a full recovery.
So we're talking about Harrison Ford, and that radio chatter, the opening up piece, was actually him talking to the tower or whatever, and, you know, saying that, hey, he's had immediate radio engine failure and he's going down. The thing is that for those that don't understand, they said vintage aircraft. Well, it's one of those World War II types where, like we were kind of talking off air, if the engine goes out, that thing ain't gliding.
No, okay, no, they're so small and they're designed to be precision aircraft. They can turn on a dime and you know, and this still has a World War II vintage training aircraft. Kind of looked like a little P-38, but with an open cockpit kind of a thing.
Yeah, it was a 1942 Ryan Aeronautical ST-3KR.
Yeah.
And so the plane had been flying about 3,000 feet, and on the way down, it actually hit a tree. But witnesses said it dropped like a rock. And
well, believe it, yeah.
It just went down. And so what the hell makes this heroic? Okay, so you got Harrison Ford, okay, famous actor. Guy's, you know, 72, you know, definitely a member of the ARP or whatever. But he's a very well-skilled pilot. Well, what makes this heroic is, again, not because he's a movie star, but because of the fact on his way back to, well, he identified very quickly that there was no way in hell he was going to make it back to Santa Monica Airport. So he made the decision to not try to go farther and try to ditch it. And the only area that was a small golf course. Mm-hmm. And for those not familiar with Santa Monica, it is overpopulated. I mean, urbanized to the freaking gills. You know what I'm saying? It's just like there is no green space whatsoever to speak of. And if he would have tried to go to the airport, there's a good chance if he wouldn't have made it back, he's going to plow into somebody's house or houses and possibly kill people. And what makes this heroic, people are saying, oh, he was heroic because he risked life or limb for putting it down at the golf course. Well, I would say you're an idiot because he was punching his card. There was a good chance that he was going to die regardless. What makes him heroic is the fact that he understood what was at stake, mm-hmm. and correctly identified that I am not taking somebody else out with me. I'm going to go it alone, you know, and try to get to the golf course. He did. And obviously, he lived. And he's been hospitalized, and he's recovering from injuries that were sustained. And supposedly, there's no broken bones that I could read. Which
no, he has a couple broken bones.
Oh, no, the pelvis, that's what it was.
Yeah, and he's got a really huge cut on his head.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So, you know, he definitely is being hailed as a hero, you know, hero for that because, to me, that's selfless. He identified that there's a good chance he's screwed, and he's going to make sure he doesn't screw anybody else on the way down, pun intended, but... they're saying from the Christian Fry of the Santa Monica Airport Association said that this was absolutely beautifully executed for somebody who had an engine failure and to go into a forced emergency landing, you know, and that just is a testament of what a well-trained pilot he was, considering that he's only been a pilot for just over a decade, I think.
No, he's been a pilot longer than that.
Well, they said 2002 FAA records or whatever, so unless he...
Well, he had a helicopter crash. He saved kids up in Wyoming near Jackson Hole, really? Where he has property. He saved a Boy Scout flying a helicopter. He had a helicopter crash, I think, back in 1998. He's been a pilot for a long time, and I have some audio here back from 2002. This was a documentary done in 2002, why he loves flying planes, and it's all recorded while he's flying. And you get understanding why he loves to fly and why he is the hero. He, in regard to this latest event in this crash, why he is. Pay attention to this.
One of the things I like best about flying, I guess, is that when I'm up here, I'm Beaver November 280 or Helicopter 35 Lima. Another pilot, another airplane. Not a movie actor. Up here, I don't think about much except flying. What my duties and responsibilities are, and everything else just kind of falls away. That's very restful for me.
Powerful,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it's very cool. Maybe the FAA looks at, I mean, to me, being a pilot's a pilot, whether you're a helicopter pilot or a, you know, airplane, fixed wing, maybe they look at it differently or something.
Well, you have
like
to get different ratings. You have to go through different qualifications and prove your worthiness. I mean, you can't just get a fixed wing pilot's license and be able to fly helicopters.
No, I know, but I swear, like, for everything they were saying, the FAA record said 2002. And that kind of seemed kind of weird to me, too, because who the heck?
He's been a pilot for probably 20 years or more.
Okay.
Or even longer.
Well, we give a shout out for giving them hell and making sure that nobody else had a bad day. And giving
Murphy hell right there.
That's right. And, you know, selflessly deciding that, hey, the right decision is to make sure that, you know, I don't, you know, the freedoms I've taken on to become a pilot doesn't infringe on anybody else's freedoms by crash landing into their house or some other heavily met, you know, populated area. And again, it doesn't do it justice how we describe it, because unless you've been to Santa Monica, like I have been, because I've been stationed on the West Coast or whatever, I mean, it is crazy. There's houses built on top of houses, I swear.
Well, that airport is right up against the neighborhood.
Yeah, they've been bitching about trying to shut down that airport for years because of the, well, just noise and...
Well, the airport came before the houses.
Right, of course, but now they've been trying to shut down that airport, saying that it's time for it to go. And I agree with you. Hey, the airport was there long before the houses were, but... Yeah, it's a testament that heroes come in all shapes and forms. We've talked about it before, you know, whether it's furry, male, female, or whatever. Whether you're famous or not famous. And that little second soundbite that you did, I think, sums it up best, that I'm not Harrison Ford, the actor, the famous guy. I'm just, he goes by his tail sign, you know, the call letters. That's what he's known by, and it's peaceful and serene and just really cool. I mean, again, really cool that... You don't know who's going to step into the gap. You just don't know. Your bloodline, your lineage, your you know, how famous you are, whatever. It comes in all shapes, sizes, and forms. And
well, the crazy thing is these people in these neighborhoods right near that airport had no idea they were even in the gap.
Yeah.
But he made sure that they weren't.
Yeah. Definitely.
By doing what he had to do. And good on him. I've always been a huge fan of his. And I've known he's been a pilot for a long time.
I think he's a great guy.
I have nothing but mad respect for him. He'll always be Han Solo to me.
That's right. I was going to say the same thing. He's always been known as Han Solo to me, too. So I think we're dating ourselves because some people listen to this like, Harrison, who? You know, it's like, well, between that and, of course, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, Indy. I mean, that's the way. But I knew him as Han Solo first. And I was like, I remember being a kid not understanding that actors are exactly that, actors. Like, I thought they were real people, right? And then all of a sudden, I'd be like, Han Solo is like, what is he doing? He's an adventurer. He's a freaking, you know.
Must have got laid off from the rebellion. Keep your seats here on Beer Army Engage, because we have an awesome interview with Larry and Cheryl Lane from Double Barley, talking about not only the new collaboration beer, Give 'Em Hell, with the Beer Army Foundation and Double Barley, but just the awesome brewery that they've created, the awesome atmosphere and everything else.
And just giving some insight to who they are, why they do what they do. You know, that's the cool thing. We really appreciate them taking the time. So,
and it's coming your way. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Dustin, where do I get a Family Guy t-shirt?
Is that Cleveland or is that Mick?
Oh, it's Mick. I just sound like Cleveland.
Go over to TVMovieDepot.com and get clothing from all your favorite TV shows and movies.
Don't forget, it's the promo code BEERARMY. That'll get you 20% off.
That's TVMovieDepot.com.
Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at BEERARMY.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to BEERARMY.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
We're fortunate enough to be here at the debut release of the awesome collaboration beer between Double Barley and Beer Army Foundation, their Imperial Red Ale, given the awesome name of Give 'Em Hell. And Larry and Cheryl Lane from Double Barley are with us here, and I wanted to honestly spend some time in chat with you guys. And thank you so much for teaming up with us to do this awesome collaboration. The response is awesome. The beer is delicious. And just some insight from you guys into the whole process and teaming up with Beer Army and what this beer means to you, because it means a whole hell of a lot to us.
Well, Dustin approached me at the North Carolina Craft Brewers Conference and with the idea of doing a collaboration for the foundation, and we were all about it. And so that was kind of the first glimpse of what we would do, and you know, always the devil's in the details, right? So we pretty much pulled all that together in the last several months about what we were going to do and how it was going to happen, and I told Dustin that we were thinking about doing an Imperial Red, you know, hoppy red. So I put it together with all American malt, all American yeast, all American hops, and just seemed like that was the fitting thing for this beer. So we're pretty excited about it. I think, like you said, the feedback today has been pretty awesome. So
for us, it was so exciting because Larry and I come from a nonprofit background, and we actually missed that when we started the brewery. We missed being in the nonprofit world. I used to be a fundraiser, and I know how hard that is. So it was so rewarding to be able to give back to the community, give back to the Beer Army Foundation for scholarships. Actually, it's been the most wonderful experience that I can even tell you. We had the best time developing the label, which was so fun. Dustin, you came with me with the Give 'Em Hell name, but that was just the beginning. So the name started creating this amazing brand around it. And we had a cool artist that came through, and it fit everything. And Larry came through, and Mark came through with the beer. And I can't tell you how exciting it's been to work with y'all. It's been fun. It's been energetic. And I want to do it year round. We talked about doing it just once a year. But, dude, I do it year round. Anything to help the foundation. We love you guys. And we're just thrilled to be a part of it.
No, I remember when I first, when I pitched it or whatever, I was talking about, I think we were talking about scaling up. It wasn't Steak Cake. It was Steak Cake or something dark. And I scaled it up. And I remember saying, hey, I think we should do this or whatever. And I remember Mick freaking, he comes back, he's like, hey, no, we're going to do this red ale. And I'm like, who gives a fuck about a red ale, man? Like, right? Like
right.
No, I know. Well, I didn't realize like they already had like this name, this whole idea or whatever. But I just remember kind of thinking, I love red ales or whatever, but I was like, but I got to tell you, this beer is freaking phenomenal. When I was here last week and we're labeling the bottles and I had a chance to try it before they crash cooled and everything like that, it was a great beer then. The only thing that I thought, I was like, oh, I'd like to see the red color come out a little bit. But now, this is what blows me away about Double Barley. And this is the caliber brewery that they are. And when I kind of pitched it off, just off the cuff, deep inside, I was like, God, I really hope Larry would say yeah to this year. And it was kind of like just spontaneous in its own right. But when they crash cool, I mean, they don't even filter their beer. And this thing looks like Cristal. I mean, it's just crystal clear. The color is amazing. The beer is freaking amazing. And it's a testament to how good Double Barley is. I mean, I know people say, oh, you're just saying that to blow smoke up my ass. I'm telling you, there's over 120 breweries in the state of North Carolina. There's over 20 more in planning. You know, some make better beer than others. But, you know, you see it on our beer shelf, you know, at the Beer Army Outpost, the bottle shop and the Outpost. We got 600-700 brands. And there's only about 20-30% of it's really exceptional beer. You know, the other 60-70%, it's okay. It doesn't mean their beer is shit. It's just, it's getting more and more crowded, and you really have to position yourself. You have to show yourself how you're different. And I think Double Barley's really, really done just an exceptional job at it.
Well, it's the brains behind it all, because the beer really, when you taste, it's here, drinking it, I'm excited because I'm drinking it and I love it. And I'm walking around out here at this party going on, and I'm like, have you had the collaboration? You know, I want to know what you think. And the people that have had it, they're like, I love it. It's awesome. And then when I bring up the fact, I mean, you realize this is a one-off. This is a limited edition right now. And then their facial expressions are, really? Really? This isn't going to be a staple? And I don't know. I can't say for a fact that it is, but I can tell you right now, if you want to have some, you better grab some now while you can. Grab the bombers, get a growler, do whatever you got to do, but I can't thank you guys enough. It is a delicious beer, and the fact that you've teamed up with us to do great things with the foundation and to the charitable aspect, like you mentioned, Cheryl, just to be able to give back, to do good things, generate scholarships, have a positive impact in the community is awesome. Thank you so much.
And I highly encourage you, if you've never been out to Double Barley Brewing, it's out in Smithfield. You probably passed by it a million times on 70. Check them out, because it's just really, really cool. A beautiful tap room, for one. But Larry's like Mr. Frickin' Wizard. He's like Mr. Gadget. He's like MacGyver. I mean, the guy can brew beer with a frickin' pizza box and a clothing pin. I don't know, man. It's amazing. What really scares me is that if these guys had the resources that a lot of these other frickin' breweries have with all this venture capitalism and all that other bullshit, I would be really, you guys would do some serious damage. I mean, some serious damage on the beer scene. And I say that. I mean, it's just amazing. But yeah, it's just inspiring. I think the beer really captures the essence of it, and that's what's so freaking amazing. And their willingness to do it, it's just. And just humble.
And if you want more information about this beer, definitely hit up beerarmy.org. And seriously, I really want to give you guys, Dustin and I both really want to give you guys some time to talk about Double Barley, what beer means to you, and what your efforts are as a brewery, because people need to know it. Because outside of North Carolina, I hope people know your beer. I hope people on Beer Advocate and other websites and everything that have experienced your beer won it in other states. And I'm just curious, and I would like you to share what your goals are for the brewery and how to get the awesome Double Barley brand out there.
Well, you know, we started this whole brewery because we wanted to brew, you know, top quality, bold, flavored beers. And, you know, I think that's what we're doing right now. And, you know, our philosophy from the beginning has been to brew beers that we want to drink, that we love to drink, that are balanced. You know, that's a key for me is that, you know, no matter what style you're brewing, it's got to be a balanced style. You know, if you're drinking an IPA, lots of people love IPAs. I love IPAs, but I want to drink it. And I don't want to have it on my palate an hour from now, you know? And those are the things that I think is, you know, the finesse part of brewing beer is really where I think, you know, that's where people get separated in the brewing piece. And I think we do a great job. And, you know, Mark, our brewer, is, you know, he's very consistent about what he does out there. And, you know, that's the second piece of it is we want to bring something to the table. So if you have our beer one time at a place and you come back 3 months from now, I want it to be the same thing. I want you to be excited about it and say, hey, I remember tasting this beer and it was awesome. And, you know, I want to try it again, and you taste it again, and it's the same beer you had before. And, you know, these things are, they're not a given in this industry. You know, you have to try very hard to make things balanced and to make things repeatable. And, you know, I think we're doing a great job with that. And, you know, most of the recipes that we have are recipes that, you know, I developed, you know, years ago, and that Cheryl likes. And, you know, she's kind of the number one taste tester and number one person that basically sets all this stuff into motion, you know, with all these different flavors that we do. And, you know, from that standpoint, you know, if you're making the boss happy, then it can't be bad, right? So.
Good stuff. Let me have a turn.
What do you got to add to this, Cheryl? Come on now.
Well, I'd like to talk about the history of Double Barley. The coolest part about, you know, our story is that it's real. You know, I gave Larry a kit when he was 40. I'm 47. He's 48.
No, I'm 47. I'll be 48 in June. You're not 47 yet.
He has no idea. I'm 47. He's 48. And the coolest part is that we've been open for a year and a half. And it's been in the making for about 3. So when I mean we fell hard, it was hard and fast and ridiculous. He started making beer. The coolest part about what happened was he sat me down one day and he called me by my name. And he said, Cheryl, I need to talk to you. And I said, well, shit, you're having an affair. I'm not kidding, dude. I thought he was having an affair. So he goes, Cheryl, I need to talk to you. And I went, this is really... So he sat me down. And he goes, I really need to go to All Grain. And he goes, I need to spend $2,000 and I need to go and get a kegging system and I need to go All Grain. And that was like 6 months into your brewing. And because I thought that he was having an affair or doing something wrong, I was like, dude, I don't give a shit. You go get what you need. So once he started with the All Grain, that was the beginning of the end. It was unbelievable. He would come home every day after working a good 9-10 hour day, which I know Dustin can understand. And he just fell in love. And we were the party place in the neighborhood. Oh my God, we had a good old time. I actually missed those times a lot. But long and the short was, we knew the beer was that good. And, you know, it's hard. That's a leap of faith. You know, we're old. We're old. We got kids in high school and stuff. To start a new business, it was a leap of faith.
And we put everything we've had in it, you know?
Everything we own is in this business. Our love, we actually have sold the kids. It's great. No.
I didn't get much for them, though.
No, hell no. But anything, it's an amazing, you know, journey together. And can't wait for the day that Larry can start actually working here and not having to have his real job. And but that's love, and that's the commitment that, I mean, it's hard for him.
And that's really what the, you know, when people say, you know, what is craft beer? I mean, that's what craft beer is, you know, and it's you know, it's a love and it's a passion for what you do. And, you know, I think there's craft in a lot of things, you know, and anything that you make by hand, whether it's food or whether it's art, or whether it's beer, you know, that's what brings craft to it, you know? And, so, you know, my number one thing is, you know, when we brew beer and people love the beer, it just makes me happy, you know? So
I think that's the reason why the beer is so damn good. 'Cause it's the passion, the zeal, everything that you're talking about. And the other thing I want to touch base on is being all in. When your back's against the wall, you either got to perform. It's either live or die. I mean, you got to fight or you're going to die. And I think that's the only time. And it's kind of like entrepreneurship, regardless of whether it's a brewery or anything, you know, you got to commit. You got to go all in. Otherwise, you're just kind of half-assing it. But I got to tell you this. Come bring your ass down to Double Barley, down in Smithfield, North Carolina. I guarantee you the beer is going to leave an impression. Make sure you meet the DB crew, whether it's Larry or Cheryl or any of them, because I guarantee you, you will never forget them. Their personalities are freaking contagious. I think the best word I could use is orgasmic. You know, it's like, you know, but I mean, you will never forget them, and I guarantee you won't forget their beer. And I think the reason they're just what they are, their essence is capturing their beer. I mean, I really do.
The thing is the heart and soul that goes into this beer is absolutely amazing. If get your hands on it, however you do it, if you got to trade, if you got to ship stuff cross country, do it, because it's definitely worth it. It's something you should have in your collection, or at least have tasted. And Larry, Cheryl, I can't thank you guys enough.
I love to tell everyone that it's been the most amazing experience we've had. I mean, as far as a bonding thing, we've had the best time with y'all. It's been great. And, dude, we're making beer, and we're raising money, okay? I always like to say it's just beer. And I'm very adamant about it's just beer. But just beer raises money for your foundation, and that is cool as hell. And so I'd like to say give them hell to everyone, and I love you guys, and thank you so much.
And to team up with you guys has been nothing but awesome for us, so thank you.
Hey, mothers, lock up your daughters.
It's Mick Dagger and the General.
Why hasn't a hipster invented skinny overalls?
Are you kidding me? Just stick your head under the water and breathe.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing here on Beer Army Engaged, why don't you be a part of it and become a Beer Army Super Soldier?
Hit up patreon.com/beerarmy and pledge today.
There are a number of levels at which you can pledge, and that way you can be a part of Beer Army.
That's right. For as little as $1 a month, we're talking about less than 25 cents an episode, you can become a part of Beer Army by being a Super Soldier. That helps us to offset the production costs of this program, and you enable us to raise money for charity.
It's a great thing to be a part of. We encourage you to do it. Hit it up. It's patreon.com/beerarmy. Beer Army.
That's Patreon, patreon.com/beerarmy.
Beer Army Engaged.
Well, here we are at that point in the program where we just shake our head because, man, there's just some stuff in this world you can't make up.
No, it's
insane.
It's insane. It's banging your head against the wall expecting a different outcome. That would be, I guess, the definition of stupid. I don't know. It's just nuts. It's nuts, man. It's stuff that you see out there.
Least.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah, so let's yuck him to sue.
So, Mick, do you know what Crufts is?
Crufts?
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but C-R-U-F-T-S. Well, if you're...
Sounds British.
Well, I know you got a fancy dog, you know. We got Lenny.
Well, Lenny's the studio dog. Soft-coated Wheaton Terrier.
Yes. But supposedly Crufts is the biggest dog show, like premier dog show in the world for people, you know, run around kind of like I call them kind of snooty or snobbery.
Name?
I don't know. I guess not.
Crufts.
So anyways, dog owner Dylan Thomas, he has himself a Springer Spaniel named Max. And give a listen as he was showcasing Max on display.
Okay.
Tremendous record. Works on the north, on the estate, the Barlow estate in North Wales. Oh, hello.
The dog comes a screeching halt.
We got anything? And right in front of the red seats. Look at that. A very responsible dog owner. Well done, Dylan.
What's going on?
Dylan, who is
The dog just took a huge duty.
On so many occasions.
And the dogs, they showcase the dog blowing up. He's all happy.
It can happen to anybody. Yeah, well done. Dylan Thomas.
He hands the bag of poo he just picked up and gives it to the judge.
Good shit. Good shit, Dylan.
Two laps ago. What a glamorous job it must be to be the judge of the gamekeepers.
And the judge, because you got Dylan, he hands it off to the judge to continue to run the dog, but he's running the dog in like a big circle, or you know, so the judges can see its poise and you know,
right.
Disposition, I guess, or whatever.
Running a dog,
and all of a sudden he's going. All of a sudden, the guy goes like, "Whoop!" Like he gets pulled. The dog like drops trowel right there, drops a dookie, and then they blow up. I kid you not, man. They zoom in on the dog as the guy's picking up the dog duty. And the dog, Max, is just like, just to like all proud of himself, like, take a look.
You know how good you feel after you drop one, man. Like, oh, God.
And I guess the red seats are like the main review area or viewing area or whatever. And so, give it up to, Mr. Thomas for hastily diving into his pocket and whipping out a handy bag. And he bagged that bad boy up, handed it off to the judge, and continued on a running.
Because Max is always dropping a load.
Maximum load. Maximus.
It's like when you caucus. It's like when you take a dog for a walk and you're using the dog to like try to pick up a chick, you know? Yeah. Like, hey, can I borrow your dog? I want to go pick up some chicks. I'm like, okay, yeah.
It's a move that Lenny would do.
It's like one of those things where you're like, hey, and you got girls looking at you, and next thing you know, your dog's like, oh, nope.
Lenny would do that, say, how dare you use me as a prop? Yeah. I'll show you.
Picking up chicks.
So what do you got over there, man? You got pooches dropping duties?
Somewhat of a form of trying to pick up chicks. It doesn't involve dropping a load, but it does involve dropping trow.
Oh, jeez.
I think we have a repeat offender.
Really?
Yeah, didn't we do a story about a guy from Florida a long time ago that...
Well, we've done a lot of stuff from Florida.
Exposed himself.
Oh, yeah, the flasher guy.
Yeah, because...
They changed the laws or something because he's running around flashing himself. Or
because
whatever.
He said ladies wanted it.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, I can't say this is the same guy. I believe it's a repeat offender, but it's a whole different scenario.
Okay.
Hal Hamrick. Okay. He wanted to find a lady. Hal Hamrick.
Hal.
He's 48 years old.
Uh-huh.
So, he did what he thought the ladies liked. He walked around Port St. Lucie, Florida, a shopping center down there, exposing himself multiple times. And there's a witness that told police he saw a man in a Miami Heat shirt and athletic shorts exposing himself. And the man twice put his genitals out in full view in front of not only a Target, but as well in front of a Babies R Us.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. But when
now, if he would have done it in front of Victoria's Secret, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. But a Babies R Us, come on, dude. You know?
And yeah, exactly. But he told police that he was exposing himself for the ladies. He wants to find a lady, and they like when he does that.
And he knows this how, I wonder. You know, yeah. I know for a fact that the ladies like it when I show my genitalia.
Yeah, you know, because every time I randomly expose some total stranger, they go, oh, really? Right here? Oh, what a shocking surprise. Thank you.
Wow, man. It's like, I just don't get it. You know, I wonder if he manscapes. Like, does he really, how much thought does he put into this?
Why would you even
obviously,
be wondering?
Obviously, he's probably not even in his right of mind, but.
Well, my thing is that it was the day before I found this article, which I bookmarked for Yikim to Sue.
Sure.
I had read an article in a British newspaper, why single mothers are the best lay.
Really?
It's because they get hardly any free time, and the free time they do get, when they want to meet a guy, they're going to spend it just, you know, with sex and like uber, like aggressive, passionate sex. Oh. So, you know, single mothers are the best lay. Then I come across this story and I was like, oh, he must have read the same article.
Must have read it, yeah.
I'm going to be outside of Babies R Us because I know this is all you want.
Well, I tell you what, you want to talk about crazy though. I got another man that's really got an issue here and it isn't about flashing himself. Get this. This guy, Nick Hess, he has a condition. It's called, you ready? You wait for it. Otto Brewery Syndrome. Take a guess.
Interesting.
Take a guess what that is. Otto Brewery Syndrome.
He can drink as much beer as he wants.
Right, exactly. Like he can't get drunk, right? It actually is the opposite. it's a condition that means his stomach turns carbs into alcohol.
Oh.
He's in a brewery. He's a walking brewery, dude.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. So many people, you know, I mean, they wish, right? Like, hey, I wish I wouldn't, you know, especially if you're an alcoholic, you wish you probably can get drunk and not have to spend money on it. Well, like, how about just have a burger, you know, like a Big Mac, and you're getting shit face off the carbs off of it.
Wow.
So if he like eats like potato chips, it gets him sloshed. So basically his stomach, it produces too much yeast and turns any carbs into alcohol. And it was crazy because, you know, for no reason, he was trying to figure out what the hell's going on. He would get stomach pains and headaches, and it turns out he's just getting wasted and stuff like that. And so his friends and family started suspecting that he had a major drinking problem. His wife was even searching around for like all the booze and everything he's got hiding around, and they couldn't find anything because they thinking, you know, they're getting ready to do an intervention. And the guy's like, look, man, I'm not drinking or whatever, you know. And he says, and I quote, it was weird. I'd eat some carbs and all of a sudden I was goofy, vulgar. Every day for a year I would wake up and vomit. You know, and he said sometimes it would come on over the course of a few days. Sometimes it was just like, bam, I'm drunk. And wow. he goes, people often thought he was drunk even when no alcohol passed his lips. And then finally his wife started filming him, realized something was up, you know. And so that's when, despite having countless hospital tests, including three colonoscopies, three endoscopes, the condition was only diagnosed after he was fed a carb-heavy meal. And get this, his blood alcohol level shot up from 120 milligrams per 100 milliliters of blood. That is the equivalent, okay, unless we're doctors, what the hell does that mean? It's the equivalent as the same as having seven shots of whiskey.
Just by eating some potato chips.
Yeah, well, eating this carb-heavy meal. That's like, holy shit, man. So, yeah, so Nick wow. Hess, man, Otto Brewery Syndrome. I'm going to, if I ever do get, I've never been pulled over a cop by DUI because I'm a pretty responsible guy. But if I was, I think I might try to play that one.
Well, my question is, does he enjoy West Coast potato chips or East Coast style potato chips?
Maybe English style, you know, maybe he likes, you know, oh, wow. Otto Brewery Syndrome.
It all depends on where the potatoes come from.
Yeah, no. But anyways, yeah, I can't believe we already wrapped up in that interview with Larry and Cheryl, man. That was just awesome, and just really appreciate it. And of course, you, my friend, for capturing all and making sound at all.
Oh,
sounds good, and you know, coming out and representing Beer Army Radio.
Well, it's awesome to watch all of this stuff happen and watch it grow and unfold, and you know, and having the podcast here and sharing delicious beers and just having a good time and just sharing some fun with our super soldiers out there. And seriously, if you are interested in being part of Beer Army Foundation, hit up patreon.com/beerarmy. You can link to it from beerarmy.org. Check out previous podcasts and just spread the word.
Like you said, become a super soldier. Again, patreon.com/beerarmy. Pledge your support. Remember, all your pledges are tax deductible because we are a 501c3 nonprofit charity.
So. Absolutely. So hit it up. Check it out. Be a part of it. Have some fun. And we will catch you next week here on Beer Army Engaged.
Rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.